We have the legend of Balsam Lake on the line, and it appears as if his weekend may have already started. If not, it will be over in about, or starting in about 10 minutes. Here's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. What's happening up there, Bob?
I'll dip the toe into the glass of wine. That's it. Not too much. You gotta stay sharp.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's the way to do it. You're a red wine guy, huh? Do you ever delve into the white, or is it exclusively red?
No, pretty much exclusively red. Maybe on a hot summer day you get a little white going, but I'm a red guy.
Yeah.
Do you ever have conversations with Matt Cos? Like, Matt Cos is like, isn't he a sommelier?
I love talking to Matt about it. I sometimes talk to him about that, and I learn a lot from talking to him because he's as good as it gets.
Yeah, it's his birthday.
It's funny,
today,
Bobby.
Too.
It's funny, Bobby, how the NHL has gone from a beer league to a wine league.
There you go. It's like, Matt's birthday today.
It is.
Yes, it's Cos's birthday. Happy birthday to Matt Cos.
Wow. Yeah, Pooley, you're pretty broke up about the whole. It's not a beer league anymore. It's
still a beer league for me.
It just it is, probably is for a lot more than you realize. But the your point is well taken. But, you know, you should tell everybody you've never really had a glass of wine, have you?
Yeah, maybe a sip walking by or something, but not very often, no. Strictly a beer.
Just plug beer.
Okay.
That's it. Man of the people.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah. Pooley, exactly. He knows what's up. He knows how to he knows how to portray himself here on OD.
Selke Trophy winner, empty net goal scorer. He knows how to do it all.
That's right.
Whatever it takes. I actually have a beer spinner, Bobby. I put my beer in a spinner, and it kind of spins it around a little bit.
That's called your mouth.
Exactly.
Swirling it around.
Yeah, we're aware.
Legendary first sip.
We know what you're up to. We were talking earlier about the contrast between Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, and Gary Bettman in the NHL. And it's not that they don't see the world in a similar fashion. And obviously they're two of only really four big four commissioners. There's such, a small portion of the sports community that can say they've been in their shoes, but Adam Silver feels like he's always a little bit concerned about how people are going to react. And he's been almost universally liked so far, which is a rarity in the commissioner role. And as a result, I feel like he's a little bit hesitant to make a call on a return-to-play format. Like, he's really dragging his feet here because he knows blowback is coming. Where Bettman's been in the role for 30 years, he doesn't care. Like, I really don't think he cares about blowback. Doesn't mean he didn't put a lot of thought into it and thinks they got it right.
No.
But he just doesn't care about the public perception anymore, Bob. Maybe he never did.
Yeah, you're probably right on one level, but I think and then Bettman's a polarizing guy. Some people like him, some people don't. But I would look at the NHL plan as they've laid out, and to me, I'm not one of these guys who's like, oh, we got to play hockey, we got to do whatever it takes. It looks like a very cogent, well thought out plan that has allowances for what's going on in the world. And they recognize that there's going to be certain restrictions here, there, and everywhere, and they have to work around those. I can't speak to the whole basketball plan because I just don't know enough about it. But I think you're right. I mean, Adam Silver still is relatively, compared to Batman Pete Rozelle shows where I'm at.
Yeah, Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell. It's great being 63 years old. But and that might be the first sip of wine I took. A little synapse going on there or whatever. there's still almost a love affair with Silver as a relatively new guy. And I think he's gone out of his way right from the get-go. Very socially aware. I don't know anything about basketball, but I know some people who do. And it was interesting that even in the early stages of this, on the whole, coming back to play thing, I got the sense from the people who do know a lot about basketball that everybody, the Players Association, the NBA owners, everybody was like, yeah, let's get this show on the road. Let's do it the right way, but let's take every step to get it going. And that the commissioner might have been and I say this anecdotally because I don't know this, I'm just passing along what other people have told me, that he might have been the guy that was the impediment to that. That he was the one who was like, oh, I don't know. You know, I think we need to be really cautious here.
Yeah.
And that. So my attitude with the NHL and the return to play from the get-go has been, I don't begrudge them putting together a return to play plan and wanting to have it. But I think they've done it in such a way the whole way along as to say, we're going to try and do everything we possibly can to mitigate everything that needs to be mitigated or that we can mitigate. And so here we are. And I think that's true of everything you're going to see across the board. I mean, you know, and it's not for me to say what's right or wrong, but, you know, someone said Disneyland's got their return to open plan, and it's now scheduled, and it's coming back. So, you know, things are going to open up all over the place, and if you are in the position to be able to do it in such a way, then you can do it with a, you know, a relative degree of safety. And I say, only reason I say relative degree of safety is because outside of shutting everything down completely, there is no entirely 100% foolproof way to get around this. But, you know, we've had the debates and everything. We can't keep, and as I say, I'm a guy that wears a mask pretty much all the time out in public. And I'm the guy who's looking at the pictures of people at Trinity Bellwoods and going, are you kidding me? But I'm also the guy who says, we all just can't stay in our house for the rest of our lives, and we all can't shut down businesses for the rest, and we got to find a way to work around it within certain limitations. And so, and I think the NHL is trying to do that, and I don't begrudge them for what they've attempted to do here, and we'll see how it goes from here on in and whether they make any foolish decisions, but I don't think they've made any so far.
Bobby, the guys that I've talked to, you know, very often they're looking at us for information. They know how wired you guys are to the league, and they wonder what we know. But have you had any conversations with guys that don't think we should play in the NHL? Like, I don't get sense from the...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I haven't got that sense from guys I've talked to, but have you had those conversations at all?
I've had conversations with agents who tell me that they've got players who are like, no, man, we don't want to come back. But I mean, it's easy to say I don't want to come back, you know, but then, you know, what's the financial equation of not coming back, and are you prepared to live with that as well? And so at the end of the day, that's a call that still has to be made. And I think, you know, and again, there was a lot of controversy at the time, but when the NHLPA had that conference call with its executive committee, and with the 31 player reps and the guys on the executive committee, there was a lot of discussion, and it was pretty contentious from what I understand at various times, but then they did the vote, and it was like 29-2 in favor of the format. But guys like Devin Dubnyk and others, and since then Don Cheer has come out and said, that was a vote on the return to play format. There's still going to be another vote. And the other vote is, once we see the specific plans, where are the hub cities? What are the rules and regulations for being in the hub? What's the testing protocol going to be? What's the family situation going to be? Family with us, family not with us? Is the bubble airtight? Is the bubble discretionary? There's so many of those things that are still on the table. And that's when, Pooley, I think you're going to get some players say, I don't know about this. Or you're going to get players that say, yeah, you know what? That's better than I thought it was going to be, and we got to try to finish up 1920, and then we got to try to get 2021 going. But see, part of the other thing, and it's being raised, but it's almost unspoken a little bit, is part of the reason why they're so adamant to get 1920 done, quite aside from whatever the financial ramifications might have been for not having to give paybacks to Rogers in Canada and NBC in the States, is that you want to start next season as late as possible within reason, because the later you go, logic would suggest maybe the enhanced opportunity to have fans in the stands. And so it all comes back to a financial equation, and the players have got to be cognizant of that. And, you know, this, the entire economy, top to bottom, is totally in the tank. And that's certainly true of the NHL economy. And if the NHL has to start next season, whenever that is, October, November, December, January, and there's no fans allowed in the stand, it's going to be catastrophic for the players and for the owners. But, you know, that's the later they start next season, the more likely it is they're going to get some revenue in terms of fans in the stands. At least that's the thought process, hoping that the treatments are better, that maybe there's a vaccine by the end of the calendar year and those types of things. So that's part of the reason why they feel like they've got so much runway to play with here, is because they're not in any hurry to start 2021 in October or even November.
Yeah, it's almost like a buffer where if you got 9 months or 10 months in between games, you need something in the middle, and that's what I think they're going to supply here with Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. So yesterday we all went around the table with, you know, our top three teams or players or fan bases that should be disappointed with the 24 team setup, and I said people that are not fans of Stan Bowman and or Mark Bergevin should not be happy with this, because there's a lot of angst directed towards those GMs in Chicago and Montreal. But now maybe the owners are like, hey, they made it. But regardless of how you're defining it, they're playing games and they've got a chance at a Stanley Cup still. What's your understanding of, you know, the security of GMs, coaches that just barely get in here? Does it count, or will their owners still be like, wait a minute, you know, I'm still going to review this, and just because we moved it to 24 teams doesn't mean you get a free pass on next season or your future in this market?
Well, let's talk about those two teams in particular that you mentioned, Montreal and the Eastern Chicago and the West. In the case of the Montreal Canadiens, I don't get any sense whatsoever that Mark Bergevin is in any sort of jeopardy. Every opportunity that owner Jeff Molson has had to support Mark Bergevin through some difficult times as well, he's done that. And I don't think anything that happens or doesn't happen with the play-in round with the Pittsburgh Penguins would necessarily change that. Now, I could be wrong, I guess, but I certainly, you know, we were almost in the final weeks of the final weeks of the regular season. And any messaging from Jeff Molson vis-a-vis Bergevin was status quo. And we're you know, in a, whatever you want to call it, a soft rebuild, a reload, whatever, and we're going to continue down that road, and Bergevin's the guy who's doing it. So from the Montreal side of things, doesn't make any difference, I don't think. And quite aside from, you know, the pandemic rules that we're under now, Stan Bowman's future, and this happened after the pause, but John McDonough being let go as the president of the Blackhawks created a whole air of uncertainty on every front in Chicago as it relates to Stan Bowman. And, you know, there was a feeling, I think, as long as John McDonough was there, Stan was probably there. But, you know, that would have been something that would have probably need to be hashed out at the end of the regular season, normal regular season, if the Hawks missed. And we would have, that would have been one of those ones where we would have been, okay, well, we got to wait to see if Stan's going to get a vote of confidence from John McDonough. And now suddenly McDonough's gone and Rocky Wirtz's son is taken over for now, and they're going to hire somebody to replace McDonough, or Wirtz is going to do the job himself. But, you know, that all bets were off once McDonough left. And so that whole aspect of Stan's future is still up in the air with virtually everything else in Chicago because of the dismissal of McDonough.
Well, when the dust settles, we'll see where, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a short off season. So if and when moves happen, they're going to maybe have to happen pretty quickly, but get after that weekend, Bob. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a good one, my boys. Have a great weekend.
You too. There he is, Bob McKenzie.
Thanks, Bob.
TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess once your team is out, then you can start to review everything, right? Like if a team loses in that play-in round, you don't have to wait until the cup is handed out to make a call on what direction you're going to take your team.
I think there's a lot of owners, you know, and Pooley, correct me if I'm wrong, that probably have in their mind, regardless of what happens, what they're going to do moving forward. And it's more probably from the business side. Like, we can't forget, like, these owners are hemorrhaging money. And they're not only hemorrhaging money from the National Hockey League, probably in, not probably, guaranteed in their businesses outside of hockey as well because of the pandemic. So I think a lot of them are looking at the bottom line as far as financials and saying, all right, well, if I was going to spend at the cap here, I might have to shave $5 million. I might have to do, like, I think there's going to be a lot of hard decisions made, not just on personnel, but, you know, some financial decisions about an organized individual, not MLSE, right, and, you know, some of the deep pocketed organizations.
But maybe, you never know. I mean, even the Leafs, like, there was an article that came out recently, you know, maybe the, I think Frank might have written it, about going and finding more guys in long-term IR, and a lot of that's insurance money, but still, like, paying guys to not play. I don't know. Can you pull that off? Like,
well, think about the technicality of July 1st and $62 million in cash owed.
Well, yeah, that's, I thought about that. Like,
yeah, think about that. Zero revenue coming in,
and these players' revenue.
Yeah, they have revenue from some other businesses. Obviously, they're.
Yeah,
but those businesses are getting hit too, man. It's not.
Sure they are.
You know, everything's getting hit at this point.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, you're right, Noodles, for sure.